happens that way. Even in July, some of the higher mountains are still got lots of snow caps on them, and some of those never leave. That's just the way it is. We had a great time. Had a good time with my parents. My dad celebrated his 66th birthday on July 3rd, and so we were glad that we could do that. My brother from Arizona was there, and my sister, who's right from that area, was, of course, there. And the kids got to see their cousins for the first time in 7 years, so that was a blessing to be able to be reunited with them and just get to spend some time with them. Wasn't able to see my grandmother on my mom's side, who you've been praying for with a couple of surgeries, still kind of away, not able to see. But she is doing well. Appreciate your prayer, continued prayers for her. She's 88, but in spite of her dementia, pretty severe dementia, and the breaks in her arm and her hip, she is still in, as far as her body, optimal health. And so I just thank the Lord for what's going on there. Got to see my other grandparents. My other grandfather on my dad's side has dementia as well. Not quite as bad, but we're just grateful to see them. You know, when you take a trip like that, you don't know if it will be your last. And so we got to spend some good, when I say my last time to see my grandfather or somebody else, but we're grateful that we got to see them another time again. And every time we get to see them, we are grateful for it. So thank you for your prayers as we traveled. It was just a good trip. Shalissa started off a little bit rough, but she's just the Lord helped, and she was able to get her mind off some things and have a good time also. So we're grateful for that. All right, let's go ahead and look in the scriptures. Go ahead and take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 16. Just a verse that we're not even going to get into the context. Just a little phrase there that I want you to see. It wouldn't be the first time that you read this verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Tonight we're looking at the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to be talking more from this verse and more with what the verse is actually, the whole point of the verse. But tonight I just want to look at the topic of the throne of grace. As I mentioned, I don't know if I was, maybe it was just when I was up here in between songs, or if it was in my prayer, I don't know what it was. But we have prayer because of who? Two persons that happen to be persons of the Godhead. First of all, would we have prayer without the Holy Spirit? We wouldn't have prayer without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, kind of an interesting play on words, the Holy Spirit was the one who birthed us into the body of Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we trusted in Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, he birthed us into his body. And so we celebrate that birth through the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's because of the Spirit's birthing us into the body of Christ that we have the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace in which we access the Father. And so we praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit's work. But it would not only be the Holy Spirit's work in which we can pray, for if it wouldn't be for Jesus' work on the cross, and so we see the Holy Spirit birthing us, and we see Jesus Christ's death on the cross, which enabled us to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies and to do away with that partition that was there, that thick wall of partition that we had no ability to enter as a person that wanted to speak to God. We had no ability to do that on our own. And of course, we go into the old priest system of the Old Testament and how they had to go to the priest. The priest had to go and offer sacrifices and do their thing and then able to get in once a year to go before God's presence. We have access 24/7 because of the Holy Spirit and because of Jesus Christ. So think of that just for a moment. But tonight I want to give you two things about the throne of grace. What does the throne signify? Okay, now I'm going to ask for your involvement, a throne. Okay, a throne. What is a throne? Go ahead. You don't need to raise your hand even. What's a throne? Okay, a king sits in it or rules from the throne. Good. What else? A throne. Just even give some simple things about a throne. Okay, it's a symbol of power. And when we say the throne of, we know that we're not really just talking about the type of seat that it is. Although we can talk about that. In fact, I want you to say some things about that. The throne would be the symbol of the authority, right? The power that's there. Whoever's sitting in the throne. Okay, so it's a symbol of power or authority. What else?
It's a seat.
It's a place. It's a place that's designated for someone or something. Okay, when you think of a throne, think physically right now. Don't think too hard or too spiritually about it. What else? Okay, there you go. It's elevated, right? You think of a throne. You know, you typically don't think of, when you picture a throne, do you think of somebody down deep into something? No, you think of, you know, maybe some steps going up, lifted up, and then, of course, the throne is probably not some little footstool. It is something bigger that, and why? What's the significance of height? And there's going to be some significance here when we look at this. Okay, so there's just the symbolism of the height is above, right? Above. And then, of course, you know, some would look down, but physically, certainly looking down that way. So we have the height of the throne. So we have suggested that a throne signifies power, right? We've suggested that it signifies, here's another word that we haven't really said, but maybe could throw into the mix of majesty, right? It's more than just power and authority, but this is something that's lifted up. Okay, superiority, yes. This is above the subjects, right? This is the one that is looked up to. Any other suggestions? We mentioned authority, I think. We look up to the individual who can tell us what to do, right? In the throne. The throne, if I said the throne said this, then it goes. That's different. When the throne says it, it's law. Okay? It's law. And he has the ability to make law. That is the one that's on the throne. And we can take the law from him, and we know that it's law. There's another word, I think, that we can throw in here, and that is sovereignty. The throne suggests control. Control. The one in the throne is the one that has all these things are very similar, but has the authority to tell his subjects what to do and has the ability to orchestrate everything for the best way. Okay, so this is the throne that we are looking at. That's what the word throne signifies. How are we to come to the throne? Now, I know that really quickly you're going to look down at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and you see that we're supposed to come boldly. That's not what I'm getting at here. This is still kind of introduction here. The throne, okay? How is an individual supposed to come to the throne? I'm not asking about a spiritual answer here. Just asking in any subject, in any kingdom, what would be expected as an individual would approach the throne? Respect. Okay? Humility. Reverence. What's that? To bow, okay, so that would be to bow. I would say it was very similar to what was said about humility. It would be the physical demonstration of humility, to bow. Okay, I think you got all the ones that are in the box. Now think out of the box, just a touch. To go to the throne. Okay, you're asking for something. To go before the throne, there would be an element of, okay, authority, and I don't have it, and I'm going to the place that does have the power. And with that, okay, I think that Hannah's hitting on something here that I have very closely with asking. Okay, there's another word that I have here. So we approach it with fear. And what, when we say fear, are we talking about this kind of fear? Well, it'd be reverential fear. And it could be this kind of, if we're just talking in general, it could be, you know, can you imagine Esther going before the king even though? That could have been a fearful king, because what if the king had the ability to do? Not put out the scepter, and what would that mean for the subject? Death. That was a fearful thing. Now, we're not just talking about that. The throne is just it's a reverential respect. It could be taken as far as fear for my life. Bettina, did you have something else? Or did I take it, or somebody take it? Okay, invitation, okay, to come. You're able to come, and there's a good one. And there's one more that I have. I think that when somebody came before the throne and asking the question, it was along the line of what Hannah said, that there would be expectation as well. Expectation. I have something to petition, and I'm expecting it to come through. The throne. The throne has a lot. Do you think that God put the word throne in there for a purpose? Or do you think that he was looking through a thesaurus and just said, that one looks good, throw it in there? Did God make our Bible that way? No way. I want to tell you can put it to silence. God did not throw our Bible together in whatever word worked. No, he specifically put the words together. I understand they were in different languages, and our English word is thrown here, but I believe it's a good word. It's the throne. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6. Okay, now we're going to get a little bit more specific to the throne and how we are to come. I know Hebrews 4 says boldly. Again, we might get to that soon, but not tonight. We're just looking at the throne this evening. Matthew chapter 6, you remember, we have been looking a little bit more, even though we haven't really hit on Luke 11 super hard, but it's the basis in which we are doing our study on prayer. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus and said, what? Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus is giving them the example on how to pray. And he immediately goes into the Lord's Prayer. Well, I want you to look at Matthew's rendition. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 to 13 is the Lord's Prayer. Let me read that for you. And you can see a number of the things that you just said that involve how we're supposed to approach the throne. After this matter, therefore, pray ye. And here's the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we see here some of the things from this passage, what you just said. Do we see reverence and respect and honor here? Yes, our Father which art, is this an earthly Father? No, our Father which art in heaven. This is a different Father. Should we respect our Father in heaven different? Well, I hesitate to say that because we ought to respect our earthly fathers with respect. But I tell you, if our earthly fathers deserve respect, our Heavenly Father even deserves that much more respect, right? Okay? So he's a Heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Is there respect there? Absolutely. Is there elevation there? Yes. We approach the throne with all these things, with respect, with honor. Is there fear there? I believe there's fear when we come to this from this passage. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, God, whatever you think, we are under you. There's expectation. Give us this day our daily bread. Is the person praying this? Of course, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. But is there expectation in this? God, we're expecting you to give us our food. Do you expect God to give you your food? You ought to, because it's what he said he would. He's going to be our provider. There's expectation here. Now, let me take a time out here. Listen, what do we know? Where are we going at with the throne? What is our main topic here? Prayer, right? And we're supposed to approach the throne of grace. So the throne, as we pray, there ought to be respect. There ought to be honor. There ought to be fear. There ought to be expectation. What else? Thy will be done. What's that? Submission, right? Your will be done. You know what? Jesus prayed that the cup would pass from him, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Submission. God, whatever you have for me. Folks, I want to tell you, I've been preaching hard that we ought to tell, that we ought to say, Lord, for your sake, would you do what you have said? And yet in every word we pray with boldness, there ought to be a spirit of submission. Because guess what? I am not God. I do not always know what is perfect. And my ways are not his ways. And his ways are not always my ways. Oh, how I wish that my ways were his ways and his ways were my ways. I don't wish his ways were my ways, but I wish that I was in tune with him in a better way. But I find sometimes I'm off. So there's submission. We've got to be submission. And I think we also see cleanliness. Purge us from our sin, right? Is there an element in the scriptures that tells us we need to be clean before we go to the throne of grace? Yeah, we need to be clean. Put off thy shoes because you're standing on holy ground. So the first thing that we see, I told you two things. The first thing we see is that we need to recognize his position. That's the first thing, his position. His position on the throne. The throne signifies two things. The first thing it signifies is his position. And here I get down to earth. Do we, when we pray, recognize his position? I will tell you that all too often when I go to prayer, I'm not looking so much on the throne. I'm looking here. And I think that we got to make sure in reverence. Now, I'll tell you, this is a hard balance because we also know Jesus to be who? Our friend that sticks closer than a brother. Isn't that a hard? It's hard to balance this because do we have the ability and does God want us to at any time of the day be able to just stop and say, God, I need your help with this? Yes, and I cannot get rid of that because there is an element that he is right here ready to listen to us. And yet we would be wrong if all we do is look at Jesus and look at God is right there and not look at him on the throne. And I would say if I err, I do much more of God on this level and be quick to say, God, I need your help for this, and God, what is going on with this, and I don't. I would say that a problem of mine is I don't pause before I pray sometimes and think of the throne. The throne. Wait a second. There's power. There's authority. There is ability and the list, the majesty, the sovereignty, the authority, and I must come with respect and honor and fear and expectation and submission and cleanliness. I believe that if we leave one out, we would be wrong. Brothers and sisters, let's not be guilty of not looking at God on the throne. The throne. Let's take time to reverence who he is and not flippantly pray, if I can say that again. He is near. That we at any point and moment, I'm not saying that you've got to go and for 30 minutes get yourself to a level. You can't. You're already put there. And that's what I don't understand. Do you guys understand that? I don't understand how I can just approach. And yet, can we? We can. But yet, the attitude, and I'm going to get to two applications here. The attitude needs to be one of that respect. Recognize his position. Do we recognize him as the creator of the universe? Now, I hesitate because sometimes the leadership in our world is, you know, I could say, you know, how would you act if you were in a certain authority? And maybe you don't have certain respect for certain human authority. And so you would say, well, I wouldn't treat him any different than I do anybody else. But just go along with the illustration just for a moment. If you were meeting the highest level of leadership, whether it be America or in the world, if there was somebody, wouldn't it would be expected of us to treat him or her or whoever it was with utmost respect? It would. And I believe it would be the right thing to do, because we know that our authority comes from God. I remember back the year of 9/11. You remember that? Some of the kids won't. But you remember 9/11. You remember, most of you probably remember, some of you, you know where you were, what you saw on the television, or whatever, the radio, or how you heard it in the newspaper. But I remember that day very vividly. It was just a few, it might have even been weeks. I don't know, it could have been a month, maybe at most, that I was doing a pastoral internship in the suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland, Anchor Baptist Church, and I was there. That summer, I had a friend that I went to school with at Maranatha that was doing an internship in the White House. Obviously, you know that he was much smarter than I am, because he was at the White House. And he was doing his internship there, and he was there, and he got a hold of, I was interning, and there were two other interns that summer at Anchor Baptist Church in Maryland. And we got a phone call. I could have even, I don't know if it was the night before or that morning, I don't remember, but we got, and maybe it was anticipated a little bit more than that, it was just too long ago, but we got message that we needed to be ready, because he got us tickets into the White House, and we could go out through the back and go to through the Rose Garden, and there, where the president would come and land in one of his helicopters, we had the opportunity to go and to be there when President Bush was going to land. And you can imagine that morning getting ready. Do you think that we interns went into our suitcases and found our junky clothes? Do you think that we went and just picked out, the dirty shirts and dirty ties that we had thrown in there the day before? Do you think that we picked our just everyday internship clothes? Right or wrong, we went and we got in our, what was the best suit I brought? What's the best, we got into everything. Why? Tell me why. Because we were going to hopefully to see who. Whether you liked George Bush or not, we were going to see the president, and there could be a slight chance. You know what? The chances were that when we got there and there was a roped section that we couldn't go beyond, that we were going to stand there, and the chances are that he would, I don't know the odds, would come out of the helicopter, and he would exit the helicopter and just go straight in and just wave at people. There was good chances that that is all that would happen. But there could be a slight chance that if he got off, if he had time and had the ability, that he would make his rounds and shake out of the hundreds and hundreds of people that had the tickets, that he might shake a few hands before he went in. And so we hoped, we got dressed, we brushed our teeth, we combed our hair, we polished up, we did everything that we could, because why? We might get to see the president today. And I remember that day, not every part of it, but we went there and we lined up and there were people, and how do you get up to the front where the ropes are? And we weren't up front, but you're sitting there. And I remember in the air, I'm telling you the story because it's an interesting story. Maybe some of you have never got to experience it before. We were there watching, and there were more aircraft in the air than just the one. There was multiple. And we were looking, and they were flying all around doing circles and all kinds of stuff because you don't know which one he's going to be in. Of course, for security purposes, they're doing that, so they can't do it. So we watched and watched, which one is it going to be? Finally, one of them landed, okay? One of them landed, and it was there, okay, the president's going to come out, and the first lady came out with her dog, and then all the security guards, and, everybody, and all the whole entourage. And then comes the president, and he started waving, and like, oh, is he going to come or not? He talked to people for a little bit. Well, guess what? He did make his way around, and he was going to come. It was like in a semicircle. He was going to make his way around and shake hands. And so everybody's like, oh, trying to get to the front. I am not a bold person when it comes to that. I'm not going to be the one that pushes somebody out of the way. I'm not going to be the one that says, excuse me, I'm going to try to get in there. I'm not the one to do that. I just, I'm not going to make a fool out of myself and just let somebody else shake somebody else's hand. Well, we're sitting there watching, but I don't know what happened. It must have been the Lord, because when the president started getting close, there was a window of space. I don't know how it happened. I made my way right up there, and I stuck out my hand, and he shook my hand. Now, again, I know some of you want to shake my hand afterwards. I know. I'm kidding, okay? You say, Pastor, what is so important about shaking the president's hand? It was just the idea of being able to do that, because not many people get to do that. I was able to shake the president's hand, and he looked at me, and I said something to the effect of, we're praying for you, or I appreciate you, or something. I mean, it's about all the only second that I had. And one of my friends, really quickly, while I was shaking his hand, I was like, took a picture of it and got it. I don't know where the picture is at. Can you believe that? I can't find it. I don't know where it is. But I have a president with George W. Bush there, and I shook his hand. That was a blessing to me that I was able to do that. Now, I just shared that whole story with you because I thought you might enjoy listening to it. But you know what, folks? The illustration is so true that when you're going to meet somebody, you're going to make sure and prepare for it. And that day, no matter what president it was the president of the United States of America. And little did I know that within a month, he would be under great fire with 9/11. One of the, highlights, but most difficult times of his presidency when that hit. And it was just interesting that I was able to do that. But folks, we have the opportunity to go before the throne of grace 24/7. And some of us take no time to prepare. Take no time to anticipate. There is no expectation. God, another day, and I don't mean this irreverently. Another day, God, would you just help me? I didn't get much yesterday. Probably not today. Probably won't even get an opportunity to be in your presence. Might as well not even show up. I'm guessing that you'll accept me the way I am. Do you get the point a little bit that we're a lot too irreverent when it comes to the throne? Attitude. What is your coat? But what's your attitude? Is your attitude clothed with a tie and a suit coat, if I could put it that way? So what's your attitude And I am speaking to myself. I did it again on the way to church tonight. You know, the kids, can we pray for a safe trip on the way to church? Good thing to do. And right away, without a thought in the world, dear Lord, would you help? And when I said, in Jesus' name, amen, I was like, I did exactly what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. And inside I was like, oh, Lord, teach us to pray, right? And I'm not saying that I had to pause and prepare myself and take a bath. No, but at least just a moment. I'm ready to go before the throne, the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God. First Timothy 6:15 says, referring to God, who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Do we practice what those words say? With that, and I know we're beyond it, but there's another implied element. We recognize his position, but when there's a throne, what is also implied? Recognition of who else's position? Mine. Guess what? I am not on the throne. I am not up there. I am below. I am looked down upon. So we could look at the throne signifies to us, we are below. It signifies undeserving. It signifies sinfulness. It signifies need. I'm going through these fast and not opening up to you because we're out of time. But understand that we must look at our position when we go before the throne of grace. And the same applications are true. We must have the right attitude. God, I don't deserve anything. What is your attitude when we go before the throne of grace? And along with the attitude for both of these, I think there ought to be attribution. What do I mean? When we go before the throne of grace, we ought to elevate God in his throne, and we also ought to put ourselves down where we are at. God, I'm nothing. I'm not worthy of your presence. But God, I'm so grateful that I can come to your throne. I'm so thankful that you are above me, that you do know, that you are sovereign, and you are in control, and you are almighty and powerful. There's a whole lot more to the throne of grace, but just in the word throne, there's so much to think through. We're looking at the throne of grace. We're looking at prayer. What's your attitude when you pray? May it be an attitude of, I'm coming before the throne. The throne. Oh, Father, I have made so many mistakes. And I'm praying that you would help me. Lord, that you would help me to get this one of these days. And I pray, dear Father, as we're needy people that don't know much and we don't have much, God, I pray that you would teach us. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, God, we're learning. Help us to learn. God, we expect you to do great and mighty things through our prayer tonight. And so we're grateful that we have this opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.